Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to again talk about the Kingdom of God. I'm doing all kinds of other things besides getting our technical situation worked out, trying to bring home an elderly gentleman so that we can help take care of him at home. We think he'll get a lot better care here, a lot more personalized care, and he wants to come home. And this is one of the things we used to do all the time in this country, was we took care of our parents and our elderly ourselves. We didn't go to the government and ask the government to take care of our needy, our father, our mother, and the elderly of our community, or the sick, or the injured. We did it ourselves. There was no big social welfare programs in existence. Not because they had never been invented. They had been invented way back in the days of Rome. They existed back then. They had socialized medicine in Rome. They had actually universal health care for a while. They were well on their way to bankruptcy before they got it, but it eventually came in. A lot of people thought it was real popular, but it was short-lived because they were already in the death throes of the Republic by that time, and all their system did was put them farther and farther away from where they needed to be, which was what made Rome great to begin with, which was individual, working together, taking care of one another by literally faith, hope, and charity, and what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty. Another thing that we've been watching, there's been a fire down in Sacramento. Now, a lot of you know that we helped with the fire, helped the fire victims in Weed. We brought food and supplies, and we learned a lot in that process, that there's a lot of people out there who want to give, and there's a lot of bureaucracies that will take what you have and supposedly give it to the needy. As many of you know, there were two trucks that went down with supplies. Ours was much smaller. It wasn't real big, although we have some bigger trucks that we can depend upon, and we can pull a trailer with supplies as well. And we actually have several truckers in the network. And if they were available, they were actually both here in Oregon just the other day. We might be able to get them to haul stuff down if we could fill up an entire semi with supplies. But the point is that the giving nature of Americans is still alive and well. They just are a little bit inexperienced on how to do that, how to give, how to help one another. So we've been watching this fire in Sacramento. We've already been in touch with people that are in our network, that are on the ground in that local community. And if it looks like it warrants our assistance, we will start contacting the local churches through our on-the-ground representative. And we will start contacting people in communities along the way. And we will take up a collection and go right to the needy of those communities. We will dig them out, find them. We will take a bag of clothes that we know where it came from, who donated it. It will be sorted by sizes and need, and we will hand it to that person who is in need right there on the spot. And we'll try to record it if we have the time, and we'll show people how you do this. How do you take care of the needy of your society? How do you help your neighbor? Because, like I said, there were two trucks that went down. One of them went to the wrong town. A town, you know, over a two-hour round trip away from where the people had a need. And they dropped it off at a church that didn't know what to do with it. So the church took the stuff to a warehouse and they dropped it there. And eventually somebody found it in the warehouse. We were looking all over for it, trying to figure out where did they go, and informed the people who needed help, or at least some of the ministers who were in the local town. And they were told, well, you can drive over and get stuff, and it's all just piled up in a warehouse. What we brought down was actually sorted by actual, you know, shoes, pants, shirt, jackets, sorted by sizes. So all we had to do is give a bag right to somebody who was that right size, and they had a change of clothes. There were actually a mother walking around with their child in their arms, naked. Everything they had burned up. Everything. They had no clothes except what they were wearing. And the child, had, you know, was an infant. And it no longer had that because it had gotten soiled. You can't leave that soiled clothes. And nobody was helped. Nobody knew what to do. And now, as soon as we brought it to their attention, somebody was doing something. But that's what happens in these disasters. And even though, yes, 150... over 150 buildings were destroyed and over 100 homes were destroyed. But it's a relatively small disaster compared to what could happen. And we've talked about this in earlier shows. We just started a series a little bit called FEMA. But it's not the federal, you know, emergency management agency. It's the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary. And every church should be that. And that's where they... often, you know, like Mercury One, they'll go and contact churches in the area. And they'll bring their supplies there to be redistributed. And that's a good way to do it. But a lot of these churches are not very good at it. And I'm sure Mercury One is getting better and better at it. But we should all be that way. That is what made America great. It isn't the Constitution that made America great. Most Americans were against the Constitution when it was signed. They were against it when people were trying to bring it about as law. It was never put to the people as for a popular vote because the people would have voted it down. They knew that. It was not the source of their salvation. The source of their salvation was men like the fellow who spoke with Davy Crockett when he was running for office and told him that he would never vote for Davy Crockett again because Davy Crockett voted to take care of the needy of society. Somebody who was also a victim of fire in Washington, D.C. There had been a fire in Washington, D.C. And the fire had gone through and just absolutely destroyed homes. People ran into the streets. The fire came so fast. Naked. They had nothing. Everything was destroyed. And the Congress met and said, we need to send these people relief. And they voted money out of the government treasury to go and help those people. And people in America said, no, this is not right. That's not charity. That will destroy our nation. They knew that that idea that has become so widely accepted in America and in the world today would destroy the nation. And they said they would never vote for Davy Crockett again as congressman, because he voted to take money out of the government treasury and help those needy people. They knew that in order for society to remain strong and viable and free, the people had to freely help one another. They wanted the help to go to those people, but they said, we need to do it. The people do it. You cannot do it with taxes, or you will destroy the nation. They knew that back then. That was almost 150, it was 150 years ago. But we've lost sight of that. That is what made America great. The fact that there was absolutely no social welfare in America except that was produced by free will offerings, by charity, by the philanthropy of individuals who cared about their neighbor as much as they cared about themselves. And people were not starving in the streets. Fire departments were mostly voluntary fire departments. If there was a crime, there was a hue and cry where the people came into the streets to find out who was the criminal and to catch them. And this is the way that a great society actually operates. A not so great society operates by forcing their neighbor to contribute to what they think ought to be paid for by the public. They don't extend the right to choose to their neighbor. They want to choose for their neighbor. They want to make their neighbor take care of them, provide them with health care, provide them with education, provide them with, you know, security. And they want to force their neighbor to do this. Well, that's not love. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. And it will change your society. Your society will become indifferent to its neighbor's needs. They will say, I've already given my Corban, my sacrifice, at the civil altars of society. You go to the government if you need help. I'm not interested. And so, anyway, we as the church established by Christ, and anybody else who wants to claim that right of the church, needs to conform to what the early church was doing. They need to start taking care of one another through their own faith emergency ministry auxiliary, which is a network of people who care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves. And that's what we need to do. And so that's what we are going to do and are doing. And hopefully we'll begin to do better and better and better. So if you're in the Sacramento area, or if you know people in the Sacramento area where this fire is taking place, or if there's fires that we haven't heard about yet, or if there's other problems that we haven't heard about yet in your community, join the Living Network at thelivingnetwork.org, preparingyou.com, or hisholychurch.org, and join that network in your area and get to know the people on that network and forming the Living Network, and give them the opportunity of knowing you, so that when there is disaster in your community, we have somebody to call. Who are you going to call in the case of emergency? And over again in the Bible, it talks about, you know, pick 7 men, even 8, for you know not what calamity may fall you, what catastrophe is coming. It's because that's the way Israel operated. The congregations of Israel that gathered together in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands was the faith emergency ministry auxiliary of that society. And that's what we need to be. So that's one thing that's been in the news. And I'll have to finish this other email when I'm off the program, because I cannot type and talk at the same time. Fortunately, I don't chew gum, so I can keep talking to you about the kingdom. But the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's for the living and not for the dead. So that means in order to cultivate, and we talked about this in an earlier show, the body of Christ is out of shape. It's flabby, it's lazy, its muscle tone is horrendous, its wind is almost non-existent. So it's not in shape to take care of the needy of society. It can't do it. It's out of shape because it isn't exercising its spiritual muscles, its muscles of righteousness. It isn't doing this by tending to the daily administration of the people. We have great need of altering that, changing that, of repenting, of going the other way, so that the body of Christ is in good condition, does have stamina, does have strength, does have the skills and ability to be the faith emergency ministry auxiliary of society through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. That's what you need to do in order to find your way back to liberty. And you can't do that unless you care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself. You see how the gospel is trying to set you free? The truth of the gospel is trying to set you free. The truth of the good news is trying to set you free, and can set you free if you will hear and do. You want people to care about you. You want people to care about your rights. You want people to care about your loss of rights. You have to care about theirs. Because as you judge, so shall you be judged. I say the same thing over and over again, but I try to say it in a lot of different ways. And I'm also trying to say it so that you can begin to understand how the kingdom of God works, how it functions. So you can say, well, I'm not doing that. Well, then you're not seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm not gathering together in a network of people. I'm not looking for people who care about their neighbor as much as themselves. I'm looking for a church that makes me feel good. I'm like looking for a church that seems to justify me as I am. That says that God loves me even as I am. No, God hates sin. He hates those who are workers of iniquity. He hates the Nicolaitan. Nicolaitan. Nico, conquered. Laitan, people. Conquered by what? Conquered by their greed and avarice. He hates that. He despises that. And we are that. Unless we choose to repent and turn around and go the other way. And that other way is that we become the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. We become the government that we look to, that care for. For years, people said, you know, they wouldn't even call 911 out here. I mean, we had party lines and things like that. We would call each other. And we were just talking about it before the show. The last robbery, armed robbery, that was semi-successful in this country, in this area of the country, in this valley, this basin where I live, was 1957. And those two guys didn't make it out of town. They actually got stopped before they passed through our town. They were coming from the next door town where they had robbed the post office and beat somebody and actually shot somebody. And they didn't make it to Summer Lake. They were stopped in the middle of the road by police? No, by people. Somebody called ahead on our old party lines and said somebody just robbed the post office and they're headed north. This road was lined with old Buicks and cars and pickups and men with guns. And they saw it, you know, coming around the curves. They saw there was a roadblock up ahead and they turned or went up the mountain and tried to escape on foot. And the guys had put it together what they were doing and they ran down there and followed them up the mountain until they got to their car and then everybody was on foot. And one of the guys made a very bad mistake. He thought, I can shoot it out with these ranchers. Ranchers, I know ranchers who shoot a running coyote at 400 yards with one shot. How do they do that? I don't know. I would be lucky if I could shoot a coyote standing still at 400 yards. Actually, at my age, I'm lucky if I can see the coyote at 400 yards, much less shoot him. But anyway, the guy who turned around and tried to open fire on these ranchers, he was immediately dropped by somebody with a lever-action rifle and open sights. The other one continued to run and hid in the brush and everything, and he went up to the top of the hill, and a deer hunter caught him up at the top. And by that time, he'd gone through the night, and he was ready to turn himself in. And he got the electric chair because he had killed the local constable who came because somebody said something was going on in the post office. So that was our last major robbery. Now, there was another attempted robbery, trying to rob an old gas station that's a little bit farther south. It's kind of a lone gas station. I actually know the robber. He's still alive and well. He didn't actually do any criminal time. He was given a choice under the circumstances that he had to join the military and stop his juvenile delinquent ways or go to jail. And he joined the military and he came out pretty good. Not that I advise that these days, but the point was, why did they give him such leniency at an attempted armed robbery? It's because the old lady that he was robbing distracted him just for a second, long enough to pull out her gun and shot him. So that was the end of that attempted robbery. She immediately helped him and was bandaging him and everything. And when she finally passed away, he was at the funeral and he bawled. He cried at her passing. Because that was community. He realized he was wrong when he did that, trying to rob her. And she made it clear that it was wrong by shooting him. But for guys being shot by somebody, there he was, crying at her funeral. Because he really hated to see her pass. And she was quite old when she passed. But those are our two robberies. But that's small-town community stuff. Now, what's going on out there in your big cities in your world? We've got areas of the cities that people can't even go in anymore. And what happened to Detroit? What destroyed Detroit? Was it Toyota in Japan? Was it the compacts in coming out of these other countries? No, what destroyed Detroit was welfare, socialism. It's what is destroying the nation. And we need to repent of that idea that it's okay to force our neighbor to contribute to our welfare. We need to give righteousness a shot in the arm, a shot in our own arm. We need to become a part of a network of people that are actually going to care about one another as much as they care about themselves. If you're not doing that, you're not a Christian. If you're not doing that, you're not a Jew, not a follower of Moses anyway. And the truth is, if you're not doing that, you're not a Muslim. Because they preached the Torah. They preached Christ was a prophet. Christ said to do that. So, they may be wrong about a lot of other things. But they said you're supposed to do that. But they're not doing it. I mean, some are. We talked this morning about, on another show, about Israel and Palestine. Who do you stand behind? And our conclusion was, you need to stand behind righteousness. Because there is righteousness on both sides. There is righteousness, when I say both sides, in amongst the people on both sides, you will find righteous people. Because those people are there because of geography. They're there because of nationality. They're not there because they chose to be evil. They just were born Palestinian or born Israeli. And there are righteous people on both sides, and there are unrighteous people on both sides, and there are atrocities on both sides. You don't want to align yourself with these sides. That's part of the dialectic. Go read our articles on the dialectic. You want to align yourself with righteousness. When an Israeli is doing wrong, you want to say, that's wrong. When a Palestinian is doing wrong, you want to say, that's wrong. When somebody is... Because you care about righteousness. Not because you're swearing allegiance to this government or that government. That's idolatry. You don't swear allegiance to a government. Governments change. Righteousness stays the same. Now, I'm not saying condemn government. Government plays a part. It punishes the wicked. So, what are you going to do? So, now... Everybody that I was talking about during the break, you can listen to whatever commercials come about, but but during the break, you need to log on and go to preparingyou.com, click on the network links, or go to thelivingnetwork.org, or go to hisholychurch.org, and click on the network links, and go there and join the network in your area, and say, I want to be a part of righteousness. You're not joining the church. You're just gathering with other people that want to live a more righteous life, want to care about their neighbor as much as themselves, want to be there for the righteous when somebody burns down their house, when somebody invades their home, when somebody tries to take away their children. You want to be there and say, stop that wicked thing. That's all. That's simple. That's easy. That's Christ. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And so while we're on break, why don't you do that? Join the Living Network. And we'll be back right after that break and tell you more about the kingdom.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our lives seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're also doing another project where we will be going on to other radio stations with small 15-minute shows. And the idea is to test those market waters to see if there are people interested in the kingdom in places. Right now we're looking at cities like Kansas and Omaha. And the reason we're going to these these regular broadcasting radio stations is we're going to try to catch the people in their cars on the way to work. So we're going to do it during primetime commuting times in major metropolitan areas. And so we're working on that project also. And why? To expand that network of people who care. One of the big problems in places like Detroit and Baltimore and Chicago is people don't care. They don't care about what's that, their neighbors being robbed. And I mean, you've heard it, the people being raped and somebody pulls their shades closed. People being stabbed and people close their windows and shut their doors. None of my business. Well, that's not what made America great, folks. That's what's making America fit for any tyrant that comes along, because people don't care. So the people that do care, they are more precious than a ruby. They're more precious than gold. They're more precious than a barrel full of survivalist equipment, because those people are the key to the keys of the kingdom, the key to the kingdom, because you want to care about those people more than you care about yourself, because they care about you more than they care about themselves. And so finding those people is really quite a job, because they're scattered out. That's why I was saying you don't want to align yourself with this government or that government, but with righteousness, wherever it is found. If a government that is generally a pretty good government is doing something that is unrighteous, you need to speak up. You need to challenge them. You need to say, I don't care. It's not my government, right or wrong. It's my government when it's right. When it's wrong, it must be somebody else's government, because I won't tolerate wrong. This idea, you know, it's like the divine right of kings. If somebody said, my country, right or wrong. Who said that? That's crazy stuff. If your country's doing the wrong thing, you want to stop them from doing it, or you will incur the wrath that is to come because of your unrighteous behavior. So, what do you do in all these cities and these congested, even in small communities, you'll have the same thing. Just because you're in a small community doesn't mean that you're in a good community, because there are bad people in good communities and there are good people in bad communities. And so you have to find those good people. And that's why Jesus talks about my sheep will hear my voice. So those of you who see the wisdom of this way need to gather together and connect on a lively basis. Now, this is another thing. Because I'm a voice on the radio and the network, you know, we got thousands of people in our extended network, and I'm a voice on the radio. So they hear me. So they think they can write me and ask me this and write me and ask me that and write. And I let them do it. But why aren't you doing it on the local networks? Why aren't you doing it with people who will actually come to your house in person if you want, and never come to your house if you don't want, who will actually be there? I mean, people say, well, I don't want anybody coming to my house. Well, you don't have to. You know, we're not going door to door. It's invitation only. Ask and you shall receive. But if you don't ask, then you're not going to get. Well, the fact is there'll come a day when you want help. And you don't want to be like the foolish virgins. You want to be able to say, I need help, and have people just lined up. That one of our biggest problems is people in the network who need help and don't tell us, because they're so fiercely independent. And then one of them was warned the other day that, you know, scolded, rebuked in a loving sort of way, that, you know, don't wait until you're at the end of your rope to call for help. We're here. We have tool belts. We have ways of coming, and we have people in the network that are looking. I know a guy in Colorado. He just begs for the opportunity of helping people. He just loves to help people. All he does all day is help people. He's got a job where he has to help people, and he does it. He's excellent at his job. But when he wants off, you know what he wants to do? He wants to help people. And, you know, if you're up in the Denver area, join the network. He wants to help people. And he wants to help you, but he wants to help you in ways that strengthen you and make you a better person. And one of the ways to do that is give you the chance to help people. So you get together with him and you have two people that want to help people. Help them in a good way. I'm not talking about feeding every drug addict and lazy bum on the street corner, holding up a sign because he has chosen a lifestyle of laziness and habitual uselessness and wants you to give him 10 bucks out the window. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking about hard-working, decent people through no real fault of their own, or maybe through some fault of their own, but they're willing to admit that they've made a mistake, are on hard times. Their house burned down because their neighbor burned their house down. You know, they're sick because they got hit by a car. They got injured, whatever it is. They need help. They're going to lose their home. They're going to lose their life, everything, because something happened to them and they need help. And the only one who will help them is a government that exercises authority one over the other. Why? Because the churches aren't helping them. So start getting together and find those people. The first people on the network that come on, we've seen this, first-time people have come on the network, sometimes they're asking for help. They didn't come on the network and say, how can we help people here? And I mean really help. I'm not just saying free handouts. I'm talking about help when it's really needed. So I want to keep making that clear, because a lot of people think it's charity to give 10 bucks to a guy out the window, or, you know, to give thousands of dollars worth of food and supplies to somebody to take down to people who lost their home, but don't take the time to find out if it's actually going to get to them. And so we want to create a network that not only gets to them, but we get back to you and show you that it got to them. You know, you kind of see this with a lot of the charitable deals, you know, orphan and, you know, in Guatemala, and they'll send you a picture and you send 10 bucks a month. And the kid is able to go to high school because you gave him 10 bucks a month. But what we want to see is more independence than that, more blessings than that. We want you to become brothers in Christ. We give, you give, we give. We outgive each other. I had that with somebody who I sent my books to him and he sent his books to me, and then we sent more stuff to each other and we were just kept trying to outdo each other. But you also have to have patience and you have to have perseverance. You have to have follow-up. Follow-up is very important. So that's what we want to get people to do, because that's what preaching the kingdom of God and his righteousness is all about. So you tell me, you can write us and tell us, you get on the network, I'll see your messages. Say, this is what we could do. This is what we could do. We could do this over here. We could help with this. Wherever you see volunteerism in the community that actually blesses the community, because, you know, some volunteerism does not bless the community. But if you can find more that does, let's help that. Let's promote that. I sent out a newsletter on the Living Network this morning, and I quote Peter, who talks about fervent charity. And that fervent charity is supposed to cover a multitude of sins. So what does that mean? What is fervent charity? You think that's giving a lot of money away? You know, Paul says that though I give all I have away to the poor and have not charity, then I have nothing. Well, wait a minute, how could you give away everything you have to the poor and not have charity? It's because that particular Greek word is mostly not translated charity. It's mostly translated love, unless I don't have love. You see, those people who gave the 10 bucks out the window to the guy with the sign, did they really love that individual? Or did they love the idea that they were giving? Now, there's a difference. And you have to be a part of that difference. You have to be the part of that difference that is actually walking in the ways of Christ. You have to become a doer of the word. And the amazing thing is that when you start to take those steps, miracles start happening. They start happening on a regular basis. And I could tell you about those miracles, but you wouldn't believe me. Some of you. Some of you would believe me, but then you believe in the ways of Christ because of the signs and wonders. No, you have to believe in the ways of Christ because you believe in the ways of Christ. And most people don't do that. And that's why we see 40,000 different denominations. So those are some of the things that we want people to take a look at and to move in the direction of and assist with. But even though the church is defined as one form of government, it's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. It's by free will offerings. And that's why the kingdom of heaven is first within you, is because that's where charity begins, with a compassionate heart, which is within you. And you won't be able to persevere at that unless you are going to persevere at the weightier matters of health, education, and welfare through faith, hope, and charity, by way of free will offerings, through the perfect law of liberty in free assemblies. That's a phrase I put together, and you'll see it on the Preparing You site over and over again. And we have lots of stuff showing up there on a regular basis, and anybody can become an editor. And see, what we're really doing is about Ezekiel 37:1. So let's take a look at Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. And that's actually where we're at today. But the Lord asked, Son of man, that's us, can these bones live? So what did he do? He said, prophesy upon these bones. We don't understand the word prophesy, but anyway, he said, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. In the show previous to this show that we did on another network, we talked about the two most significant points in the Bible that had something in common. When God breathed life into the Adama, into that red clay, whatever that Adama means, does it mean he actually formed a body on a riverside out of clay and then breathed into it and this little animated doll started talking and walking? Or did it mean something else? It doesn't really matter, but the point is, the breath of life, according to the ways of God, came into Adam. Jesus did the same thing when he resurrected from the dead and walked into the room and he said, receive the Holy Spirit and breathe on the apostles. They're telling. And now Ezekiel is asking, can I put breath, cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live? These bones were to come together with the breath of the Lord, and then he would cause sinews to come upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skins. This is what God's going to do based on this Ezekiel. He says, but life is not seen in the body at first, but when your body comes together, then he will bring breath into the whole body, and that spirit will be alive too. So the breath comes into the whole body, and then the spirit is alive because the spirit of God is manifesting itself in the actual body. But as I said at the beginning of this show, our bodies, our body of Christ, is in a weakened state. It's not in a state that will bring blessings because we haven't been repenting. But as soon as we start repenting, those blessings can start coming. He goes on to say, so they would not come alive even after they came together until there was a prophecy unto the wind. That's what it says. After the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, they blessed an exceeding great army. These bones were the whole house of Israel, whose bones were dried, and their hope was lost, and they were scattered, bring you into the land of Israel. Bring you into the land of Israel. What's the land of Israel? What are they talking about? Bringing you into the land of Israel. What is Israel? Israel is the place where God prevails. That's what Israel is. It's the place where God prevails. Does God prevail in your heart? Does he prevail in your mind and in your body and in your soul? Where does he prevail? Does God prevail at all? Well, of course he does. But what does that all mean? What does that all mean about prevailing? Anyway, I'm going to let you figure some of that out. This dry bones in Ezekiel, that's the ministers of Christ. They are the stones that are to be the living stones. Who is the sinew and the muscle and the tissue and the flesh? That's the people. The kingdom of God is spirit-driven, but where does that spirit come from? Does God just give that spirit to a certain elect few men and then not to anybody else? No, he gives it to all of you. Every one of you has been given the Spirit of God in righteousness. God seeks to give you that spirit, and within you is that kingdom. That's where that spirit. If you don't have that spirit alive in you, then you are the dead, and you should go bury the dead. But if you have that, if you can receive his message of righteousness, you can not only be blessed, but bless others. As a matter of fact, you have to bless others. You won't have any choice. You will insist upon blessing others, because that's the nature of it. That's the nature of the kingdom. You're not living your life for you. You're living your life so that others may be blessed. And that's what he wants. That's what he deserves. And you have to want that too. You want to bless others, because as you judge, so shall you be judged. You see how all these things are working together for righteousness? How they all are operating in the ways of God? It's really simple. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's for the living. It is for you right now. But you have to seek it. And how do you seek it? You have to find others. Gather together in his name. Not the name of many of those that you have gathered together with in the past, but in his name, according to his character, according to his ways. That's what you need to do. And there is nothing else that you can do that will bring you closer to salvation than to do that. That is just the way God works. That's the way God blesses all of us. So in Ezekiel 37, it starts out, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Can we manifest the miracles of God? Not without repentance. The people themselves must repent, turn around, and go the other way. It is required. They cannot do this any other way. You can't do it by demanding your rights. You can't do it by returning to the Constitution. You have to return to Christ. You have to return to the ways of Christ. Christ came to set you free, but you must follow his lead. He came to serve, not be served. He came to give life, not to take it away from his neighbor. To even let his own life be forfeited so that you might be saved. Which means you have to obey the law. And the law says to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So who has signed up since the beginning of this show with the Living Network so that if there is any way possible that you can help those people that have already lost their homes and may lose their homes tomorrow in this fire that's out of control in the forests of California that are coated with aluminum and magnesium so that these fires are burning out of control in the midst of a horrible drought too. So whatever is causing the fires, these people's homes may be going up into smoke. 1,000 people have already been evacuated, maybe more since the program started. So have you signed up to do anything for them? Then why would we come to help you? And why would you sign up? Well, I can't go. I can't do anything. Well, you could send $10. If we go, you can send us $10. You don't have to send us $10 now, and you don't have to send us $10 if we go. It's all up to you. But the point is, somebody's going to be willing to go, and the more people that support them. And how can you do this? Do you know anybody in California? Do you know anybody who knows anybody in California? See, once you're on the network, then we can say that we're going to be passing through this town, this town, this town, this town, this town. Do you know anybody there that can take up a collection? We have room for another quarter ton of stuff. And so you know somebody who says, yeah. I mean, we stopped at one house. The guy came out with probably 350 pounds of dry good foods. He wanted to rotate anyway. He worked for a big company that delivers dry good foods all over the country. He wanted to rotate stock, and he thought, well, here's a good reason to do it. Yeah, this stuff is a little old. It's not way outdated. It's been preserved in buckets, and it will save these people. And we just loaded it up. Someone else had a thrift store that they give stuff away from all the time. And they quickly sorted everything according to size and age, put it into bags, and then we stacked it up. And we saw this is the way to do this, because we see the other people coming with just big barrels full of stuff, and it's all mixed up, and you have to spend 2 hours driving there and back and 3 hours sorting the stuff out. How are you helping those people? You're not helping those people. You're not taking the burden off the shoulders of your neighbor who's just lost their home. If you can hand them a plastic sack with the clothes exactly the size they need, they don't have to do any sort. They just lost everything. They really want to file through a pile of clothes, and some of which wasn't even clean. People try to get rid of their junk. Now, we don't make you sort everything out. We'll sort some of it out on the way down there. We'll put somebody in the back of the van going through with things and putting things into bags. We'll sort it out in the evening when we take our breaks. Why? Because we're not just in the business of charity. We actually care about people. And I know out there are many of you who care about people. And we need to work together to show America what made America great, so that we can show the world what made the gospel of the kingdom so essential to the salvation of millions of people as Rome collapsed. Because most people aren't going this way. Most people are going to stay selfish. They're going to stay praying to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. They're going to stay, well, just looking for the free handout. But those of you who don't, those of you who want to repent, those of you who want to go the ways that made America great, that is the righteous ways of Christ, let's get together. Let's do it together. Let's prove that Christ was right, that we need to love. All law hinges on that. And if we will care about our neighbor as much as we care about ourselves, if we will seek that kingdom of God and His righteousness, that way of God and His righteousness, all else will be provided for. It is the best survival skill you can learn. And until you do, peace on your house. And may God be with you. Until next time on Keys of the Kingdom. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.